Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this morning, and we give everyone a very warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord, and really sense the presence of the Lord in the service this morning. And that's what makes a meeting, and we need His presence, and we want His presence, we believe in His presence, and we just thank the Lord, praise God. I was preaching last night, and the Lord really helped me last night. I preached on the Almighty God and His power. And the Lord helped us, you know. And two Thursday nights ago, there was a powerful tongues and prophecy that our brother John gave here in the service. And we've been having powerful meetings on the Thursday nights here. There's not many. But the brethren that's coming can testify the Lord's been moving in the meetings. But I got so many invitations last night. I don't know how many invitations I got. Everybody wanted me to go and preach for them after the service. I wanted my phone number. And then on Thursday night passed again. The Spirit moved again. And our brother Philip, it was like a prophecy again. Thursday night passed. And the Lord's moving. God is moving. Now we have to recognize when God's moving. Amen. And we really appreciate the Lord what He's doing, and I believe it's because of unity. Where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Amen. And I was telling some brothers last night, I sent them, you know, I said years ago, God really moved in the Milton and Drumore years ago. But the devil got in and they started to twist. And my dad got that scripture, those that war against each other shall be consumed one of another. And that's what happened. And the meetings closed. There was no meetings. And Leslie Hale prophesied that he'd seen the floorboards turned up. Of course, he thought it was revival, but it wasn't. Several years later, my dad went through, for the church used to be in there with the old hall empty, and the floorboards were literally turned up. We want unity. And when there's unity, God can move. Unity, praise the Lord. So we thank the Lord for everything, and a lot of people was asking for Brother John last night, and they've been praying for him. And it's tremendous. It's tremendous that our Brother John's here, that everything that happened. And you hear so many accidents with bulls, especially when you maybe never thought of it before, but when you hear about it, there's a lot of it happens. And we just thank the Lord this morning for His mercy and grace, praise God. Let's turn to Hebrews, and some of the people was there last night, that was there on the Friday night when Brother Gary was preaching. Where was it, Brother? Seskenore. Brother Gary was preaching at Seskenore. And there's people there connected with Mountain Lodge. I keep saying Darkly Lodge, but it's Mountain Lodge. Mountain Lodge. And they're Pentecostal people. And we just thank the Lord for the Pentecostal. Amen. We want Pentecost, I can tell you. More and more of it. Amen. Let's read from Hebrews chapter 5 for an opening scripture. And I might read all of the chapter. You may be seated. I won't keep you standing. You may be seated. And just keep us in prayer. But the Lord wants to do and everything. And, you know, I'm just something I'm praying before the Lord, and I'm not going to say anything. God can do the talking. I'm not going to talk for Him. And I want to know what His will really is on something before I make a move. And I know God's able. Praise God. Let's read chapter 5 of Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people to offer for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh his honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now this is the Melchizedek priesthood we're going to go into here. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Praise God. We're going to pray. And just to let everyone know, Sister Andrea's husband, Davy West, his father's, they're waiting on him to go. And they're talking about switching the machines off. And he's had a lot of problems. He's 82 years of age. But the tragedy is, the man's not saved that I know of. And that's the tragedy. It's not the tragedy that he's sick. That's not the tragedy. The tragedy is, the man needs to be saved. And they want us to pray for him. And the ministers went to see him. And I don't know, I'm not saying, I can't say for certain the man's not saved, but as far as I know, I'm praying God will move him. Amen. Let's close our eyes. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace, for your mercies are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. Father, we humbly approach you in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the merits of your precious blood over our lives afresh. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. Come against every hindrance, every foul spirit, that be subject to the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you'll have your way in this house. We pray, Lord, for William West this morning, that you'll move on that man. Speak a word into his innermost being. Cause him to repent and come to the knowledge of salvation in Jesus' precious name. Strengthen the whole family, we pray, at this time. Speak to David especially as well and his brother. Move on them and save them in the name of Jesus Christ. We claim every one of them. For our own children that's been praying, we claim our sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews. Pray that you'll save them all in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your word to our hearts as we come round your communion table to remember what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want just briefly this morning to take a look at, this is in the book of Hebrews, and there's a contrast here of Moses and Jesus and Aaron, the high priest, and Jesus, the new high priest. And then there's a contrast of the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of Christ. It is not only the contrast of the bloods, but also the two tabernacles. The one tabernacle that was reared up by Moses in the wilderness, and the other tabernacle that was actually reared up in heaven. For the Bible says, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly with a better sacrifice. Then we see in the earthly priesthood that priest could not offer for anyone except he first offered for himself, because he had to recognize he was born a sinner, for he was a sinner by nature and a sinner by birth, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that under that old covenant and that priest, he could never offer for the people till he first offered for himself. But then when we come into the New Testament, we come to a superior priesthood. A priesthood who, after the order of Melchizedek. And remember that Melchizedek had no beginning, no ending. No father, no mother, no ascent, no descent. And a prophet of God called William Branham said that God made himself a body and he stepped into it and he met with Abraham and he said to Abraham, walk thou before me and be thy perfect, for I am thy great reward and thy shield. Hallelujah. So here we're talking about a superior priesthood. And right away we see with this superior priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he never once had to offer for himself. But the offering he made was for you and for me because he was absolutely perfect and he was personified before God. He was perfection of perfections. He was love of love and he was God made manifest in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. This is a superior priesthood this morning, what we have. Into the lot that later Jesus enters, Jesus entered and he sits down with his blood in heaven. And I want you to know that the Bible says he sits down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the reason you're reading, he sits down. Many people have many things to say about it. Right hand speaks of all power. But the reason he sits down is because the work's finished. When you finish the day and you come home and you sit down, you've done your day's work. And I want to tell you that Jesus has finished his work. There is no work that Jesus still remains to do, for Jesus finished his work. He paid complete for our salvation. He paid complete for our healing. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out so that we can be Pentecostal by a complete experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus sat down because he completed the work. It's done. We just need to recognize it. F.F. Bosworth, a wonderful servant of God, said that we need to put the devil in his right place. And we need to look at him at the size he is. He says, God is very big God, and he's nowhere near as big as the devil. And I preached last night, and I showed them last night, he's not just God. There's the God of this evil age, which is Satan. But we've got somebody that's greater than the God of this evil age. We have Almighty God. And 37 times it speaks of God Almighty or Almighty God in your Bible. And when the Bible mentions something so many times, we need to take notice to it and recognize it. God sends something, and he's Almighty. And F.F. Bosworth says that our God's a very big God, and the devil's a small devil. And remember, God Almighty made the devil. And the prophet of God said he's just a tool in the hand of God to bring about God's good will and plan. And we know the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, and things happen that sometimes you can't understand why or reason or not. But all good things work together to them that love and serve the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we want to do our own purpose, but God does things to change that so that we'll serve his purpose. Hallelujah. Thank God tonight, this morning, sorry. He entered in and he sits down in the holiest of holies. The priest under the old covenant could only stay long enough to make atonement. That old priest couldn't stay in there too long. He would go in and he would come out. But Jesus went in and he sat down so that me and you could enter. And as the old priest in the old covenant testament went in, with the pomegranates on the bottom of his garments and the bells, and they tied a rope on his ankle. And you know, when they sent him the whole way in, they stripped him off down to all white linen, which speaks of righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they sent him in, but you know, when he had all these garments on him, and I think I preached before and showed you the pictures of the priest's garments under the old covenant. But when he went in, they knew he had reached the destination. And they knew that everything was okay when the bells rang out. And I want to tell you in this service this morning that 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ reached the mercy seat in heaven. And the bells rang out and they cried out, mercy, 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 hallelujah, for the sinner. And the bells are still crying this morning. There's bells ringing in glory because there is a way made into the holiest of holy, a new and living way through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's a clear way this morning, and we can enter in. Hebrews 7, 24 to 27 says this, but this man, because he continueth ever. Oh, I'll tell you, that's some phrase, isn't it? But this man, because he continueth ever. Amen. I'll tell you, we're not working with someone this morning that the moth and the rust corrupts and decays away, but we're working with someone that continueth ever. I was thinking, you know, you could carry out a restoration. You could carry out a restoration on a car or a vehicle, but if you leave it, it'll rust again. And no matter what you do with it, especially if you put it near the seaside, the sea, blowing in on it and the salt and the water, it'll rust again. But I want to tell you that we're working with someone this morning that will never have to be restored. Are you hearing me? There will be no restoration to it, for it is itself restoration. It continueth ever. Ever. And once you have received Jesus Christ and his life's in you, it's no longer I that liveth, Paul says, but Christ liveth in me. There's something in you that's called everlasting life. And you cannot die and you will not die. Your body might go to the grave, but you have a soul that's precious in the eyes of the Lord. And you will continue ever. He hath an unchangeable priesthood. An unchangeable priesthood. I tell you, when people tell us we don't need the blood, you see, this is an opposite to Scripture. And then another man said to me, the foolish virgin are not actually under the blood, or they're not actually washed in the blood. But I didn't want to argue with him, but I could have proved him wrong in a moment. Because I could have run him over to Revelations, and I could have shown him a great multitude, which is foolish virgins, which come out of the great tribulation, robed in white. And the Bible said they're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you realize nobody can enter heaven that's not washed in the blood of Jesus? You know, even them Old Testament saints never come out to Jesus went in. Did you hear that? They never come out to Jesus went in. He's the one made the way in. He's the one made the way in. Time and eternity met. And death and hell met. Hallelujah. And life and death met. And life overcome death. Praise God. And Jesus made the way in. And I tell you, his blood's precious. Precious blood. Verse 25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost. That come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. You see, he's not like your old earthly priest. He's higher, he's greater, he's superior. His bloodstream is different from that other priest's bloodstream. His bloodstream never had original sin in it. He's undefiled in his very blood. And he's the only human being except from Adam that was first made that's undefiled in his own blood. Jesus Christ's blood's undefiled, and death had no claim on Jesus. Death had a claim, and every single other man that was born of a woman, because he was born in sin and shame and iniquity. But death never had a claim on Jesus, because he had no sin in his bloodstream. God's blood was flowing in his veins, and his blood's called precious. Precious. The precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the precious blood of Jesus, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for he did once when he offered up himself, once and for all. I tell you, there's people today and they're still in the works program. They're in a works program. They're climbing to heaven, they think. They're praying to the dead. They're under the spirit of necromancy. We're not to pray to the dead. Jesus is living. That's why we pray to him. Hebrews 9 verse 7 says, but into the second veil went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Verse 21 of Hebrews 9. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So as is the earthly, so is the heavenly. And you know, we shall bear the image of the earthly, but then the Bible says we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. As Adam was off the earth, earthly, so we're earthly. But Jesus Christ is off the heavenly, heavenly. And even the very blue of the heavens speaks of his heavenliness. Hallelujah. And we bear his image when we're born again. We bear it with Adam's sin passed upon every one of us. Universal condemnation, universal separation. All died on him, but thank God, all are made alive. Jesus Christ. We are made alive this morning in Jesus Christ. Notice this startling thing, that Adam's sin had touched heaven itself. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now appearing the presence of God for us. Went the whole way to heaven. Thank God it went the whole way to heaven. If his blood can go away the whole way to heaven, it can reach you. It can reach me. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Jesus Christ can save no one but sinners. People's trying to get good and come. That's what the devil does. Cain tried to get good and come, and God rejected it. But Abel never tried to get good. Abel recognized he couldn't do it. So he brought a bleeding lamb, and God said, that'll do. Amen. Blood offering. Amen. And we can't get good enough and come, but we come as we are. Yeah. Billy Graham's famous song and famous chorus when they did the calls. You know, I've heard a lot of people ridicule Billy Graham and say he's not this, not that. Well, let me tell you this testimony that I share with you this morning. I heard of a man recently, and he was in a gang, and Billy Graham was having big meetings, and there was thousands at it, and him and nine other fellas, there was 10 of them all together, they got themselves revolvers, guns, and they made a pact they'd shoot Billy Graham that night, that evening, at the crusade. And they went to the crusade and they hated him with a passion. And they had their guns hid everything in to crusade. And it shows you the photographs and all of them. They got round close as they could tell him to shoot him. This one fella, he was a ringleader. But while Billy Graham preached, he dropped the gun. And he run to the altar. And he got saved. Amen. He got saved. And 9 out of 10 get saved. 9 out of 10 get saved. And they dropped their guns and got saved. Then some smart aleck must have read Billy Graham up, because he doesn't know anything what he's talking about. But he says he's a message believer. Well, I'll tell you, a prophet of God said Billy Graham's one of the angel messengers to this age. That's what a prophet said about him. I believe that prophet rather than some hybrid religion that claims that prophet's message but knows nothing about it. Because Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. But they never really believed Moses. They quoted Moses, but they knew nothing about Moses' message. Because if they knew about Moses' message, they would have recognized Jesus as the Word made flesh. But they never recognized it. And brothers, we're at the same place again. People can quote this and quote that, but they do not recognize the Word of God for some reason. Something's blinded them. I'll tell you, you tell me, that's some miracle, isn't it? 9 of them dropped their revolvers and got saved. They could see it.
Not wonderful. Billy Graham made the altar call and they come and they get saved. And them men turned out to be some of the most powerful ministers as well as getting saved. That's how God does it. That's how God does it. Isn't the Lord wonderful? I tell you, there's power when you preach the blood of Jesus. You see, when we look at this contrast of God's estimation of blood of goats and bulls, as we come to the value of the blood of Christ, as God values it, then the problem of our standing and relationship, it should never enter our minds. Because we're not working with someone this morning that's temporal. We're not working with someone this morning that has no real more power in it than your blood or my blood. But we're working with the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. And the prophet of God said, it's that Zoe Greek word, that God's life, very life was in him. And that life of God was in that blood. And when the first blood cell broke on the cross, the life of God was released. And the Holy Ghost was able to come back on believers when the blood cell broke. And that's why Romans says that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken your mortal body. It's the Holy Ghost that quickens us. But it's because of the blood of Jesus. There's no Pentecost until it was a Calvary. But it was after the outpouring of the blood that the Pentecost came and the Spirit answers to the blood. Hallelujah. Don't we want the blood? And we want the Spirit. And we want the Word of God. The Word of God never divorces us from the blood of God. And the blood of God and the Word of God never divorces us from the Holy Spirit of God. And there's not two Holy Spirits. But the baptizer of the Holy Ghost is God. And he is the Holy Ghost. And there's not two. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. She conceived the Holy Ghost. And the same Bible says God's the Father of Jesus. Now he can't have two fathers. So God and the Holy Spirit's the same one. That's why he's almighty this morning. He's almighty God. And his Holy Spirit's here and his power's here. And the Holy Spirit's real. And I tell you, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's not some sort of a secondary or third thing that comes to do it, but it is God that baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, hallelujah, he'll lead you into all truth. Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't figure in preaching any of this, but it's happened anyhow. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. That's just my introduction. We'll get out of it through the day. I should take a day for a preach all day, shouldn't I? There's nobody saying amen to that. I won't be long. I won't keep you slow. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
I'm excited. I'm going to have to start and come to communion because it's 10 past 12 already and I've said nothing. But I believe God spoke to people already. God has spoke to people already. I want to tell you, sister, no matter what the devil tells you, brother, what you're going through, I'll tell you, if you just slip away in the quiet and get onto your knees and you start to plead the blood, it'll defeat all your enemies. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There's nothing like getting alone with God and falling in love with Jesus. We need to sing that song, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. And he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I want to share one scripture reading before I take the communion this morning. Just one scripture reading from Colossians. Then I'm going to close. And that's Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. By having the bond that was written against us cancelled. There was a bond written against us. Did you ever see them boys, the repos, the repo men? And they come to take back someone that belonged to, it's high purchased.
It belongs to a system or an organization, and they come to take it back, redeem it back. Well, I want to tell you, every single one of us is sold under sin, and we're sold under slavery of the devil, but Jesus Christ paid for us with his precious blood on the cross, and he redeemed every single one of us back, and we belong to him this morning. And all the handwriting bills that was against us, the repo bills, is cancelled. Cancelled out at the cross. And we're free agents this morning because Jesus has paid for us in full. We're paid for with the precious blood of the Lamb. You're not your own, you know. You belong to the Lord. You're the Lord's property. You're the Lord's possession. And I tell you, you think of that. Touch not the Lord's anointed. 10 men with revolvers to shoot Billy Graham. They dropped them. There's a man, you know, Brother John, but I know him, his name's gone from me. But he preached a lot in the south of Ireland. He was a Pentecostal man. I knew him when he's a very old man. But he preached one night in a service, and one of the top provisional IRA men was planted in the meeting with a revolver to shoot him. And after he finished the service, and he said, if anybody would like to stay behind to talk to him for counsel, they're welcome to do it. And this boy come to the front. And most everybody else had went, and he pulled back his jacket and he had a revolver to shoot him. And he said, I come tonight to shoot you. I was sent to shoot you because you're converting too many Catholics. And he says, I'm the top IRA leader. And he got saved. He got saved. Left his revolver and got saved. Had to leave this country. Couldn't go back to his cronies. They would laugh him into hell, but they had no power that they could laugh him out of it. Amen. The devil will laugh you into hell, but he'll not laugh you out of it. Too many people's going with the flow. We need to kick back. We need to go against the stream and be like them summons and serve the Lord with all of our hearts. And that man got saved. Isn't God good? God so good. God is so good. Let's come this morning. I'm not going to read no more. I'm going to read communion verse here. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23-34. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he's betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you this morning. Lord, we're very sensitive that your presence is in this very room. We pray you'll bless the bread and the wine. Sanctify it to us, Lord, for every one of us. Lord, we've all fallen short. But we thank you that the blood lays there for us. We plead the merits of that blood afresh in our lives. Forgive us for every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, I pray. Lord, bless these emblems. as we do indeed remember you, we're so thankful for how you have redeemed us. You have bought us with your precious blood. And we're privileged this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let
your sister come to the organ and the brothers come.